Our next case involves some awful facts, so I will keep them brief. The plaintiff, who had the mental ability of a child, was in a home for the disabled. A handyman who worked at the home lured her from her home and sexually molested her. A staff member was a witness, in a sense, since she arrived on the scene just as the attacker was zipping up his pants and fleeing. The case is Doe against Bright Star Residential Incorporated. I'll call it the duty and foreseeability case. The plaintiff, through her parents, sued the defendant home. Defendant moved for summary judgment, claiming it had no duty because it could not foresee the potential harm. The trial court agreed and granted the motion. Plaintiff's appeal to the Second District. The Court of Appeal identified two issues in the case. The first was an evidentiary issue. A police report had been excluded from evidence because it contained too much hearsay. Apparently, that is often the case. The problem for plaintiff is that it was the contents of this police report that showed that the owner of the home, or the manager, it wasn't clear which he was, did know about the risks posed by the handyman. Numerous employees recounted questionable actions by the handyman around residents and things that were reported, those things were reported to the owners. Without this evidence, the trial court was unable to find enough evidence to show foreseeability of the risk and therefore a duty to protect against the risk. The hearsay discussion is complex, and I am not an expert in evidence, but I'll try. The reports involve instances of double hearsay, but the appellate court explained that those objections could be overcome if there was a justification at each of the two levels, and clearly they were looking for one because this was crucial evidence that was needed to bring the case successfully. The officers running the investigation, the managers who were also defendants in this case, the home and its managers, made statements indicating that they did have knowledge of the problems about the handyman. While technically those statements were hearsay as to their inclusion in the police report, because they were said to the policeman, they were statements made to a police investigator that were against interest. And that was sufficient to create the necessary justification for overcoming the hearsay objection as to the statement. At the second level of hearsay, another justification applied. The police report itself was an official record covered by hearsay exemption in Evidence Code Section 1280. So those two justifications should have overcome the double hearsay, and the police report should have been admitted. Now, there were other statements by employees that were attacked as hearsay. They reported misappropriate behavior by the handyman, but the court pointed out that these statements were not being offered for their truth or falsity, but only for the purpose of showing that the people running the home knew about the alleged problems because the employees had reported the problems to them. Once the objections to the police report are overcome and it can be admitted as evidence, the duty question becomes a much easier one. Since the home knew of the risk, of course it had a duty to protect its residents against that risk. It could be found liable for negligent hiring and negligent supervision. There were enough facts to overcome the motion for summary judgment. In the duty and foreseeability case, the Court of Appeal reversed the decision below. And here is your first verification number. It is 1955. I repeat, the number is 1955.